Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
It will come as no surprise to hear that there's huge money being made on the sale of jerseys for the world's leading football clubs. The likes of Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid, they bring in hundreds of millions in sponsorship deals each year. But now there's a new market emerging for retro soccer gear, with nostalgia-mad fans willing to pay very large amounts of cash online to get the kits of the big teams from the 1980s and the 90s. And Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk has been looking into this. You're wearing a jumper, like I thought you well, would be in your kit.
I'm wearing suit trousers and shoes, and I just I can't wear a jersey. Like, I'm not a fashionista, but like I have a line.
But you wanted to.
I actually said if Fiorentina won last night, I have a Fiorentina jersey I would have worn. But
yeah,
they didn't.
It didn't happen.
So it didn't happen.
All right.
So
well, you're saved.
Stay in the jumper.
Listen, will we talk first about how much money there is in soccer jerseys?
Yeah,
full stop. Current ones.
Yeah, it's billions, really, and you can see that by the size of the kit deals that you mentioned that the big soccer clubs have at the moment. You're talking high tens of millions per club. Per year. So given their on-field performance at the moment, you might be surprised they're Manchester United, currently the biggest earner in terms of the kit deal. And we're not talking about the sponsor, we're talking about the actual kit maker. Its tie-up with Adidas is worth upwards of 105 million euro per season. Could be more than that based on certain criteria, like if they qualify for Europe or if they win or something. Not happening at the moment, but they're still getting a minimum of 105 a year. Part of that is because Man United have been really successful in building themselves up as a brand. So even when, you know, on the pitch they're not doing so well, the merchandise sales still hold up. Another reason though for the big number is that it's a relatively new deal, so it was only renewed last year. It kicks in the upcoming season. It's likely to be upstaged quite quickly though by Barcelona, which is said to be on the verge of a deal with Nike. That's rumoured to be spending somewhere in the region of 115 million euro a year for the privilege of continuing a decades long relationship. It could go as high, the rumours say, as 200 million a year, again based on certain criteria, like if they win the Champions League. But as high as those figures are, sports brands are clearly willing to pay it because they know being connected to a big team is a guaranteed money spinner. You know, they're going to be selling a lot of relatively cheap to make jerseys for 100 euro a pop, not to mention all the other branded merchandise that you get access to.
They're so expensive. Like, you talk about the big money deals, but ultimately it's the mammies and daddies who are
making it worthwhile. Yeah. And it's also for the kit makers, it's also a kind of a sponsorship deal in a way, because, you know, being connected with a big club means that your other merchandise, your shoes and your jumpers and everything sell well as well. So it's kind of like a sponsorship deal as well as being a merchandise deal.
But are the clubs making money then from the sales of the jerseys as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's on top of the fee they're getting from the kit makers. ESPN recently parsed some data from UEFA about the finances of European soccer clubs, and it put together what's known about the deals as well, and reckoned that Barcelona, as an example, was making around 179 million euro a year for merchandising last year. Now, that's merchandising as a whole, but jerseys, because they're so expensive and so popular, they're a big part of that. And they're so important that club finances, you know, would often factor them in, say, to a high profile signing. So a club might be willing to pay over the odds for a Cristiano Ronaldo or a Lionel Messi, even though they're past their prime on the pitch, because they know there's going to be a boost in jersey sales, which will be worth X million, and it'll make up for the extra we're paying for the actual signing in the first place.
And then they sort of cynically squeeze every penny out of it then as well, don't they, the clubs, with the away kit and then the third kit the fourth kit.
Sometimes the fourth. Well, I mean, there was a time when a club would bring a jersey out every 2 years. They might do the away jersey 1 year and then the home jersey the next, to kind of alternate. But kind of from the 2000s on, more and more started dabbling with annual kit changes, and people really grumbled about this, but the fact is they continued to buy jerseys and change them every year. So now it's the standard approach of all the bigger clubs, really, for the last decade or so. Interestingly, the shift to annual kit changes came about after the Premier League clubs added a pledge to their charter that they would only change their first kit every second year. That came on the back of a recommendation from a UK government initiative. It was added to the Premier League charter in 2000. When I looked at today's EPL handbook, there's no mention of that anymore. The only thing is that there's a pledge not to have a minimum price on a jersey, so they can't say you can't sell it for less than 50 quid or whatever. As for third kits, that was something I assumed was a relatively new invention. I thought that it was a money-making scheme. They're actually around in some degree for more than 100 years, because the FA Cup once had a rule that if there was a clash in the team's jerseys, both teams had to wear their away kit. And then you might have a clash with the away kit, so you had to have a third one there just in case. But they've definitely changed the approach now. They've kind of gone for more eye-catching designs, like, you know, fluorescent pinks and purples, you know, some mad patterns, like Man United had a zebra pattern one a couple of years ago. Clubs also now sometimes designate their third jersey as the jersey of choice for a European competition, say. So it's the one they'll always go to. Some think that's just to give it a bit more of a profile.
Yeah,
so it helps,
more
helps boost the sale. Yeah, people actually see it. But as you mentioned, though, whatever about third kits, fourth kits are now becoming a
thing.
We're
now really pushing it,
aren't we? AC Milan, Real Madrid both have fourth kits now. No purpose to these whatsoever. There's a good chance they'll never actually be worn on the pitch by the players. When asked about it, one of the creatives in Adidas suggested a fourth kit was a chance for them to experiment and try something new that they wouldn't get away with the other kits. But there is a line to walk there, because if they want to at least theoretically be worn on a pitch, there are certain rules they have to follow in terms of where the crest is placed and the size of the font and all that kind of stuff. So they can't go too mad, but, you know,
so all of these complicated issues around multiple kits, it's making us yearn then, so we can understand why we're going retro here for the big collars and the bulky jerseys.
Yeah, and you can really escape the peer pressure of having to have the latest and greatest kits if you get a classic one instead.
By going back.
Yeah, going all the way back, you can be retro then, and, you know, you were into the club before they were big and all that stuff. Yeah, and there's probably always been a demand to some degree for retro kits, but the market has really exploded now in the online era, because it's so much easier to find your favourite childhood jersey on eBay or Depop or Adverts.ie or wherever. And on the back of that, there's also been a growth in these dedicated retro jersey websites. Sometimes they're buying and selling old stock. Sometimes they're actually making new versions of the classic jerseys, which is a little bit of a tricky league area legally, because they might not have permission from the clubs or the kit makers to do that.
There.
Yeah, and there's kind of intellectual property claims there as well. But of course, the clubs and the jersey makers, never ones to miss out on a chance to make a few quid. They're also bringing out retro lines of old kits now, sometimes to coincide with an anniversary of a league win or something like that. Sometimes it's just they've set up a retro shop, or else what you might see now is a nod in the new jersey to a classic design. They bring back the old crest or a certain design element to kind of nod back to the good old days of the old jersey, as a way of tapping into that.
So what's the real appeal of them, do you think, the retro jerseys?
Well, I think clubs are seeing the same thing that people in the music industry, the film industry, the TV industry are all seeing, which is that there's now a large cohort of middle-aged, middle-income earners with a lot of disposable income and a lot of nostalgia that, you know, they want to kind of tap into. And that nostalgia can extend to the shirt sponsors as well. You know, you'd almost miss the days of having consumer brands that you recognise, like, you know, JVC or Nintendo on the jersey, rather than the banks or the high-end airlines that you're never going to use, or betting companies that you've never heard of on the jerseys, which just tend to be the sponsors nowadays. And, you know, there's an element of rose-tinted glasses to this, but there were some really lovely designs back then as well. And, you know, they weren't, nowadays they're kind of crafted for performance, so they're all following the same kind of shape and the same kind of material, whereas that wasn't the case back in the 80s, 90s. They were like heavy, bulky shirts.
They were bog-standard classics. There was no messing around with leopard print or, you know.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, there's also a bit of more character and a bit more of a difference to the jerseys as well. Like back in the old days, you would have had Admiral, Pony, Ullsport, Patrick, which, interestingly, despite the name, it's actually a Belgian company. It's nothing to do with Ireland whatsoever. They would all be making different jerseys, so they'd all have a different look to them. Nowadays, it's only the preserve of the big ones.
Okay.
So they all kind of look the same, really.
Right, let's talk about money then, and how much these jerseys can set you back.
Yeah, well, there's kind of two answers to this, because you have the original replica kits that you might be lucky enough to find online, and then you have specific jerseys worn by a player in a historic match, which obviously is worth a lot more money. So in terms of the classic replica kits, one of the most sought after is Napoli's 90-91 kit. It was a kind of baby blue. Mars was the sponsor. It's actually a really, really nice kit. Probably best remembered as one of the club kits worn by Diego Maradona. I've seen suggestions of a price tag of 350-590 euro for one of those. The Netherlands Euro 90, 1988 jersey, also in big demand, kind of patterned orange kit made by Adidas. That could cost you upwards of 880 euro.
Why?
Of course, all these, you could buy the modern remakes of them, but again, legal grey area and the quality might not be great.
They're antiques now, are they?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And collectibles.
They are, yeah, the collectibles. In terms of the specific collectibles, the one of the most expensive jerseys ever sold was Maradona's Argentina jersey, the infamous Hand of God game in the 86 World Cup quarterfinal. It was sold by former England midfielder Steve Hodge, who swapped his jersey with Maradona after the match, auctioned for £7.1 million 2 years ago.
Good for him.
Actually, one of the most expensive of pieces of sports memorabilia in the world because of that as well.
What a piece of luck.
Yeah, exactly. You know, did he think when he swapped the jersey, this will be worth something? You know?
No, he didn't, but no, I'd say he's delighted
but, yeah,
it happened.
Cashed in it. The second most expensive one ever, another Argentina jersey, interesting, Lionel Messi's World Cup jersey from 2022, sold at auction last year for £6.1 million. He sold six jerseys and some of the proceeds went to charity in the back of that.
All right, well listen, we'll all be searching now for the Holy Grail, right?
Yeah. Do you have Maradona's jersey?
I'll have a look in the boxes in the press. Thanks very much, Adam. That's Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk. We'll take a quick break.